How many of you know what your name means? Raise your hand if you do. My name is Leah, and in Hebrew, it means weary. I wonder if the biblical woman Leah, or Leah, if as my Jewish friends tend to say, felt weary because she was mother to six sons and one daughter, and shared her husband Jacob with her sister and two concubines. I get weary, too, thinking about the family and power dynamics they must have had. While I don't typically feel weary, I do like the name Leah because it ties me back to a significant woman in the biblical story. Now, in this sermon, you're going to have to help me out since I don't have much voice, so I'd like you to find somebody sitting near you and tell them your name, and if it has a meaning you know, share what it means, and if you don't know what it means, if you know why it was chosen, share that. Go ahead. Now you found a friend, you can talk to them after church. Names mean something in the Bible. You should know that the blessing that Zechariah speaks in our gospel passage this morning comes right after the naming of Zechariah's son with Elizabeth. His name is John. John, or Yohanan in Hebrew, means Yahweh is gracious. For Elizabeth and Zechariah, having a son at their age was indeed a gracious act. Zechariah was a priest, and Elizabeth traced her lineage all the way back to Aaron, who is Moses' brother. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary offering incense to the Lord and bringing the people's prayers to God, an angel appeared to him. Zechariah was terrified. Fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." Now one or both of Zechariah and Elizabeth must have prayed for a child because the angel told Zechariah, "Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will name him John." But Zechariah asked the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I'm an old man, and I am getting on in years." Zechariah's second-guessing of the angel has echoes of Sarah's laughter and Abraham's disbelief when the Lord told them that they together would have a son in their very, very old age. The angel Gabriel told Zechariah, "Well, I just came by to give you the good news, but if you want to stand there gaping at me in disbelief, fine. You will now become mute, unable to speak until these things do occur." And that was that. Zechariah did not speak for 9 months. Isn't it ironic that I have laryngitis on the day this story comes up? Zechariah did not speak when Mary, also pregnant, came to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit upon seeing Mary, and the child within her leaped for joy. Indeed, the child Elizabeth was bearing would become, as his father proclaimed in his blessing, the prophet of the Most High, going before the Lord to prepare his ways and give knowledge of salvation to his people. God is gracious indeed. When John was actually born, the people around Elizabeth and Zechariah commented, "You're going to name this baby Zechariah like his daddy, right?" But Elizabeth said, "No. He is to be called John." The people didn't believe Elizabeth. They called out the names of other male relatives in their family, suggesting them, saying, "But nobody in your family is called John." At that point, Zechariah motioned for someone to bring him his writing tablet. "His name is John," he wrote. And immediately, Zechariah's mouth was opened, and his tongue was freed. He had the power to speak once more. The gospel lesson tells us something about recognizing the power of silence, but also recognizing the power of speech. Being silent for 9 months must have given Zechariah the chance to choose his words with care, with meaning, assuming he'd ever be allowed to speak again. While Elizabeth gestated a child, a prophet in her womb, Zechariah prepared to give birth to words once more. And I'm guessing he never again took for granted the power of the words he could say. Some of us, during Advent, need to find time for silence. When Kai and I got home from Kai's violin practice yesterday, we were greeted by Chris in her bathrobe, and her face was rigid with a shiny green layer. I could see that she had just applied a beauty mask and would need to be still and keep from talking for half an hour or so to get that extra glow in her skin. But I also recognize this beauty mask for what it really was, one of the many introvert rituals Chris uses when she must be around people for any length of time. You see, we were about to begin a full day we had planned in the city with Chris's parents and her sister and her family. Now, you should understand, Chris loves her family, but she often has to have private conversations with herself to remember to keep a gracious attitude around the people she loves. She also has to power up by being by herself and or being quiet. While her face was frozen from speech, I managed to tell Chris about the credit card I had accidentally left at Costco yesterday. And I also told Kai, quick, if you need to tell mommy anything that might make her mad, now might be the time to do it. This morning I woke up with very little voice. You almost got a sermon written on a tablet and delivered by someone else's voice today. You might be wishing I'd done that. But I saved up for you. I refrained talking to my family all morning so I could preach. For Chris, it was probably another one of her introvert dreams come true. It gives me the tiniest feeling, tiniest, of what newcomers experience when they come to this country and they have all these rich thoughts floating in their heads, but no way of expressing them in the English language everyone else around them can understand. I'm not naturally an introvert. So for me, an important spiritual practice is from time to time choosing to shut my mouth and to practice listening to those around me and also listening to God. My hope is that I will not be like Zechariah in that although he was a priest and it was his calling to offer people's prayers to God, he never really expected God to answer him back. My hope is that I will be ready when God is trying to answer back. Right now, I'm not completely sure that I am. So I need to build more space for quiet listening and contemplation in my life. Some of us during Advent need to find time for silence. Yet some of us, and perhaps these are also some of the same people, I don't know, there may be overlap, some of us need to find the power to speak. Advent is a time when we focus on what is most important, faith, family or friendship, hope for the future. The time is pregnant with opportunity to say something, something that really matters to the people around you. These may be sorts of things that we are too fearful to say. But as Zechariah's words proclaim, because God has shown mercy, we might serve God without fear. So here it goes. There are some of the kinds of things that I've heard people say that took great courage. Or if they were not spoken, these are the kinds of things I know others in my ministry have longed to hear their loved ones say to them, and I've asked for Jonathan and Kayla to give my voice a break for a couple of minutes and to share these. You'll have to turn the microphone on. Now, these aren't things that Jonathan and Kayla have said. They're just giving examples. Maybe they have said them. I don't know.
I work hard as a provider, and usually that is how I show my love for this family. But today, I want to say the words I never say to you. I love you.
I feel like I'm heading into a depression, and I need your support because I'm scared.
You know I go to church just about every week, but I have never shared with you why my faith is important to me. Would you like to hear why this God thing matters to me?
Can we talk about my hopes for my end-of-life care?
I know you and I disagree on which political leaders we like and trust, but I would like to hear from you, and I will shut my mouth and just listen. Why you like the person you voted for, and how that person matches your hopes for your life and for the country.
I feel like you and I have become strangers in what was once a rich and loving relationship. I'm sure I had a role to play in where we have